I've been sharing with you for some time since last year that the owner of the building has approved us building a wall up there and separating the two rooms. Now, for those of you that are here nearly every Sunday or most Sundays and are in attendance here, especially those of you sitting in the back, you know how important that wall is to you, because many of you have spoken to me about how excited you are about the wall, because you won't hear all the noise going on out there. I even hear the children all the way up here. So you won't be having to hear the children or the door banging back there as people are coming and going, because we are in a metal building with metal doors. And so the wall is going to be very important. Our sound people are super excited about the change that this will bring in the room, and for many of you who have sensitive hearing, that will help a lot too. But from a pastor's perspective, I am going to be excited about the wall because the heating and cooling costs go down. We save money on heating and cooling once we get that wall put up there. And our very own Gary Hood has got it all figured out, and we're going to be releasing even more information about it very, very soon about that wall going up there. And it's going to be an important thing for us to do that, and cause the separation between the two rooms is very, very important that we get that done. And the owner allowing us to do that is a is a huge thing, because he told us from the get-go, you're never going to get to do that. Isn't it interesting how God gives you favor if you just do what God says and honor the person who owns the building? It's important that we honor the owner and do what he tells us to do, because God will give you favor. And God has given us favor so that we can build that wall and make things better in here and out there in the foyer area. So we're excited about that. We'll be releasing even more information real soon. And Gary Hood, if you don't know, he builds these great big, super expensive homes, so he knows what he's doing, and he's got it figured out. And so we're looking forward to getting that wall built. This morning I'm going to open with what God told me to open with throughout this series, and then throughout the year I'll bring it to you. I've spoken very clearly about when the Holy Spirit came to me, began to reveal some things to me from the Lord last year, that he had a series he wanted me to bring, a six-part series, and we're going to be concluding that series today. But I'm going to read what he spoke to me and what I penned before he unpacked the series to me. He said, "My church has forgotten about its true home. They have become so consumed with earthly life, heaven is a fleeting thought. In 2023, remind my church," and who's the church? Us. "Remind my church of the home my son is preparing for them." Corey, it's important. As I've stated before, we got 58 of the 66 books of the Bible that talk about heaven. I hope that you have been following the instructions of the Lord, who is saying that my people need to be reminding themselves of their true home. This series' foundation is all about God wanting to do the amazing right here, right now in our lives. While Jesus is away preparing an amazing home for us, God wants to have his home in us. And the question's been from the beginning of this series, are we allowing him to build his home in us? And the question was answered with a no. Not as often as we should be allowing him to build his home in us. Because it's letting him build his home in us is going to cause the amazing right here, right now, instead of next year. And so the Lord began to unpack to me some things that the church needed to clean up, was the language the Lord used with me. And the Holy Spirit brought it to me a little bit stronger, said, it's time for the church to quit living a sloppy gospel life. And there's another way of saying it, and it is this way, that we just need to do some things better as a church. Again, that's not NEC, it's the church. It's the whole church. There's some things we just got to do better. So in part one, I began to unpack what God spoke, and the first thing was that we have got to get back to living the crucified life. We've got to quit being in control of everything, walk humbly before God, and the only way I know to do that well is to walk out the crucified life. That means you put God first in everything. We're not first. So we got to let go of control. Part one and part two were tied together, because part two was that we've got to live a self-examination self-examination life and not a examining everybody else's life. Crucified life, self-examination life, we've got to clean that up. We've got to do that better as a church. Because the world's watching and they're not seeing it on the level they need to see it. And I've been real clear with that and bringing out the scriptures with that. And then part three and part four were tied together as we took a look at some things we've got to do better in. And one of those is to have defiant joy and defiant prayer. No matter what the issues are, no matter the setbacks, no matter what the unforeseen things that come into our life, we've got to live a defiant life of joy and prayer. We've got to stand in the face of it and say, I'm not caving in. I'm going to press forward. And that's the life that we need to live. That's something we've got to be better at. Then last week, I began to talk to you in the context of legacy. And in the context of legacy, I was not talking about money or physical assets. I'm talking about a legacy that matters. Well, you say, well, money and physical assets matter. Yes, there is a degree of that that matters. But like Steve Green said, founder of Hobby Lobby, that 30% of the next generation, that's all that takes care of the family business, and it goes away. Only 30% actually carry it on. So I'm talking about a legacy that will penetrate the next generation. Now, I'm not up here telling you not to have money and to have physical assets prepared for the next generation. I'm not saying that. But we got to leave more than that, because that can fade away very quickly. What I'm talking about is a legacy of godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact. What are we leaving to those behind us, and how will we be remembered in our Christian walk? How will we be remembered in our Christian walk? In the context of legacy, leaving godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact. My pen truth this morning is true legacy is found in our values, character, and spiritual impact on those around us and those who come after us. I'm talking about leaving a legacy that counts and penetrates the generations. Last week, I defined legacy. One of the things the Oxford Dictionary said was that it was a lasting impact. True legacy is defined as a lasting impact, not a temporary impact, but a lasting impact. Today, I want to give you another definition of legacy. And that is something handed down from one generation to the next. So the question is, what are you going to hand down to the next generation? Yes, you may leave money, wealth, and physical assets. But what are you leaving beyond that that can penetrate the generations? Because the money may not. The physical assets may not. You may have one of your kids decides, I'm selling everything, giving it all away, and I'm moving to the mountains, and nobody can find me. So all of a sudden, all of that just went away. But they may move to the mountains with a lasting impact in their life of godly values, godly character, and a spiritual impact, and they go up there and do that. Anybody with me so far? So we want to leave a legacy that matters. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we leaving? As the church, we've got to be more focused in 2023 about leaving a legacy that will matter. It gets back to the Holy Spirit's statement to me from God that we're so consumed in the earth that we forget our real home. And I think many times we forget our true work here on this earth, and that is to win and save the lost to Jesus, live a godly life in front of people, and leave an impact that will make a difference in the generations to come. Now, in this series that God began to impact, the very last one, he said, the last one, you're going to rehearse a message you brought 2 years ago, but with some changes. So today I'm going to rehearse a message that I preached here almost 2 years ago. In that message, I strongly encouraged everyone to begin to set goals based on godly value, godly character, and spiritual impact. To at least come up with 3, 4, 5, or 6 different goals in your life personally that you want to leave as godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact. Now, I shared mine with you, and I'm going to share them with you again today. They are a template. The reason I present them is it's a template or something to stir you to consider what will be your goals of godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact. What are you going to leave to the next generation? We're fighting tooth and nail right now trying to gather back the generations because we've been losing them. Am I the only one that's noticed that? So the church has got to do a better job of leaving a lasting impact. Amen? No, you disagree? We've got to leave a better impact on the generations behind us. I'm into leaving bringing the generation before me to remember what they should be doing. All the way back. A lasting impact of godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact. My first one is, my goal and I hope is said, how will I be remembered? That he never gave up, never caved in, and he didn't quit. Number 2, that he contended for the gospel of Jesus Christ at all costs. Number 3, he contended for the vision of North Elevation Church and did not allow it to be hijacked. Number 4, and we talked about this last week in the context of legacy, that he loved well all kinds of people. But I'm not going to expose number 5 yet because I want to make a few statements before we get there. As we take a look at this in the context of legacy, number 5 that I'll speak in just a moment, and it'll be the heart of this message, I want to state this. If anybody knows how difficult number 5 is, I know it. And I know it's not easy. But with God, all things are possible. And with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, everything is possible. And I know the reality that sometimes we just can't do life alone, even though we want to throw the sword up and say, I can. Rochelle and I don't do life alone. We surround people around us. We're not going to do life alone. That's why we have overseers. We're not going to do it alone. Sometimes you have to gather one or maybe 2 other people to help you walk this out. But you need to walk it out. You'll be better for it. In my world, she'll attest to, I had a lot of somebodies. Because they kept falling, kept dropping off. This boy's not ever going to learn. Man. But what I'm going to talk about, people don't want to talk about. And I'm going to also be honest with you. One time I preached this sermon after I'd preached it the first time somewhere else. And it made a bunch of people mad. I mean, mad. Your pastor got some nasty emails. You know why? Because people don't want to address what God said we're supposed to do. So, I am stating to you that I am unafraid of your emails. Because I know I'm doing what God's telling me to do. Y'all with me? Yeah. Okay. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 70 times? 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Now, this is a verse of scripture we just read past most of the time. Yeah, 70 times 7. Yeah, 7 times 7. And we just, you know, think about it for a moment. The impact of what Jesus just said. Remember, I say all the time, don't read the scriptures, live the scriptures. I put myself there. I'm with all the disciples. Here's what I'm hearing from Jesus. He just told him, because he asked about a brother, and Jesus said, you got to do that 70, seven times, or 70 times seven. My brain's going, oh gosh, I got a lot of brothers. Seventy-seven times there. What is Jesus actually saying to us for the rest of your life? Forgive. Anybody with me? Forgive. See, we think that we get a special get out of jail free card. We're playing Monopoly here. And I got to get out of jail free card. I don't have to live like Jesus lived. Wrong. I don't have to do what Jesus did on the cross. Wrong. I must be a mirror of my Father. And forgiveness is very important. Number five. He loved well, but he forgave people even better. I'm talking about leaving a legacy of forgiveness. I've already stated that it's not always simple. It's not always easy. But it's something we have to do. Because I'm going to reveal to you, if we don't, what it does. And I know. I know what it does. From a personal level. Unforgiveness. But God is telling us in 2023, the church has got to do better at this. We've got to do better at this. We've got to. Will we be committed, that's the question, to leave such a legacy? Will we be committed to it? In this room, there's no telling what all of you have been through that you've not even shared, but you're free. And the heart of it was forgiveness. Dictionary Bible Themes states that commitment is a state of personal dedication to something. We have to make a personal dedication in 2023 to establish in my life that I'm going to not only love well, but I'm going to forgive even better. Did Jesus do that? As we follow the disciples' lives and the deeper they got into their walk, that was a real focus. Study their lives. Forgiveness was huge. Forgiveness, out of the Dictionary Bible Theme, says the freeing of a person from guilt, its consequences, including punishment, usually an act of favor, compassion, or love. God's church, and I know why God said you're going to rehearse this again, because God's church has got to show more compassion and more love. More compassion and more love. And we need to extend grace to others. We need to extend grace to others. Holman says this about forgiveness. A term used to indicate pardon from a fault or an offense. We're wanting God to move. We're wanting to have the amazing right here and right now, but we refuse to forgive. We're blocking. We're blocking what God is trying to give to us because we refuse to let go. We have to let go. Did I say it's easy? No. You may have to have somebody walk with you through this. And as I look around the room, I know a whole lot of somebody's in here that will do that with you. Help you walk through this. And you can be free completely and totally. Matthew 18, 21 and 22 is a powerful statement by Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But it's also a statement that is looked at but rarely lived out so much of the time. And here's exactly, and I pinned what the Holy Spirit said at this moment as God was telling me, you're going to rehearse this sermon and you're going to make sure you make this statement. this must change in 2023 in the church. This must change. Must change. I want to have the world run to us, not away from us. I want to see Jesus do the amazing right here and right now in people's lives. And we, the church, have got to walk more closely in the manner that Jesus walked. A pen truth. A person with an unforgiving heart and spirit is always the real loser, much more than the one against whom we hold unforgiveness. Let me give you a broader picture of that. It is amazing. We're holding unforgiveness, and they don't even know that we hold unforgiveness against them. They're totally unaware of it. And they're going on with their life doing just fine because maybe they already dealt with it or they didn't know there was a problem. And we're over here in bondage and bound up, and they're fine. And that's part of why we're mad, is because we don't see them suffering. And there is where it's got to change. I'm not here to see anybody suffer. I want to be free. I want them to be free. Amen? And so much of the time we're in bondage, and they don't even know that we got a problem. And we've got to take it to the foot of the cross and put it under the blood of Jesus. He said, when that happened, everything's taken care of. But we just like to hang on to stuff. We've got to take it to the Lord and let Him take care of it. And you may have to have somebody walk with you in this for the unforgiveness. Six things that I have learned that unforgiveness hinders in our life. Number one, your prayers. It hinders your prayers. Unforgiveness. I'm not going to just stress a lot of these. They speak for themselves. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayers. You're wanting God to do this massive thing and break the wall down, but you standing over here refuse to forgive. What does God want to do? What is He trying to tell us in 2023? I want to do the amazing right here, right now. Forgive and watch what happens. I remember when my brother and I got together, we forgave our father. We knew he wouldn't listen to us if we told him what we were doing. We just forgave him. We literally just forgave him. And man, life was woo. And over the years, he saw that and it began to work on him and work on him and work on him until he got free. See, there's power in forgiveness to change things. Jesus' forgiveness to the world, did it change anything? His forgiveness to the soldiers, did it change anything? To the people who crucified Him, did it change anything? Come on now. Forgiveness. It blocks your dreams. It robs you of your true destiny. I know that for a fact. In my own life, I was always off course until I forgave, and then I got fully on course. It steals your joy. It affects your growth in God. Your fruitfulness diminishes. And most of all, your relationship with God suffers and you don't even recognize it. Until you forgive and then you realize, oh my gosh. boy, that door flew open. Wow. I've never experienced this with God before. Why? Because you had a wall set up called unforgiveness. And let me give you this insight and truth. When we hold unforgiveness against somebody and we just refuse to forgive, we forget, we hold on and hold on and hold on. The undertow is we're actually mad at God. We're upset with Him. Because they haven't done what they're supposed to do. But we don't really realize that's what's going on inside. We've got to forgive. Unforgiveness always ends up controlling your life. And the biggest thing is it cuts you short of so many of the blessings of God that He wants to give you. Pen truth number two, unforgiveness by its nature prevents individuals from following through on what God expects in our Christian life. What does God expect in our Christian life? To forgive. We have to forgive. Something else that I have learned about forgiveness is that if we hold unforgiveness and we don't deal with it, it's like a cancer. And it begins to spread all around us and begins to affect those that we care about the most. And then begins to affect people we don't even know it's affecting. Unforgiveness. And then there's a lot of people left hurt and wounded, and we don't even know it because we refuse to forgive. And one of the other things that I've seen it do, I've seen it create chaos, and nobody seems to know where the chaos, what's causing the chaos. And most of the time, if I get to spend time with someone long enough, I can tell them the chaos is you probably are holding grudges and unforgiveness, and that's why things are chaotic. If you want to get rid of the chaotic chaos, what was the first thing that we, in the beginning, part two, self-examination. And then you got to step into what? The crucified life. Are you with me? You can start seeing why God is having me bring this series. Let me give you two truths about unforgiveness. Number one, unforgiveness imprisons you. It does. It imprisons you. It keeps you from the blessings of God. It imprisons you. My wife's saying a lot of amens and yes down here because she had to live with me, so she knows, okay? Unforgiveness provokes stress, anxiety, depression, insecurity, fear, a hardened heart, anger, resentment, bitterness, and even hatred. I have found all that to be true, all through the source of unforgiveness. Church, we got to do better at this. We've got to do better at this. Proverbs 17:9, I'm going to read it from three different translations. First, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Question again, what type of legacy are we going to leave when it comes to godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact? Two of those things is I want to leave an impact that I loved well, all kinds of people, but I forgave even better. And we all have opportunity to have to deal with unforgiveness, right? You know? All of us, not some of us, all of us have things that we face and we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. Proverbs 17:9, another translation, the one who forgives an offense seeks love. But whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. What type of legacy we're going to leave? When it says here, repeating a matter, let me tell you what it typically is. We may repeat it to others, and we get into a cycle of doing that and don't even realize that we're revealing to everybody, I've got unforgiveness, but I'm not seeing it. But here's the other thing that gets repeated. It's not even being spoken to someone else. It's just going off in here, triggers constantly going off in here, repeating, 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 repeating. And who's in control? The enemy. We've got to let go and forgive. We have to let go and forgive. Proverbs 17:9 from the Amplified. He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. But he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. What type of legacy concerning godly values, godly character, and spiritual impact are we going to leave? I'm going to challenge you right here one more time. Please do not walk out that door and forget this message. Sometime today or tomorrow, over the next few weeks, do what you need to do. Fast, pray, get counsel, proper counsel. Not somebody that will agree with what you're needing to release. And ask God to help you establish what will be your goals of a lasting legacy as a child of God. And then get to working on it. I keep these in front of me all the time as a reminder. And sometimes I have to just stop, fall on my face, and say, God, coming up short there. Lord, forgive me. Help me, Holy Spirit. I can do better. Are y'all with me? I can do better. Three truths about forgiveness. Number one, forgiving others gives you the freedom to be happy again. I'm happy. Am I hiding it well? Let's be truly happy and let's be free. Let's be free. Number two, forgiving others gives you the power to create a better future. You know why? Because all of a sudden you're letting God fully in again. Come on. You're letting God fully in again. You're fully letting the Holy Spirit do His thing. Your future just got brighter. Why? Because you took the wall down. Anybody with me? You took the wall down. Number three, forgiving others removes what unforgiveness has put between you and God. It removes the wall. And it also removes the wall from other people. Why does everybody shy away from me? Well, you can't see the wall, but they can. And you talk about it a lot. We need to stop talking about it and start releasing it to God. Amen? Got to release it to God. I remember one time herself, she probably don't remember, we were coming down the hall and I was doing my thing and she turned to me and she said, why don't you just shut up and ask God to forgive you? She was frustrated. You would feel better, you'd be better, and you'd be free. Okay, I wasn't real excited about the way she talked to me. I thought about smacking her, you know, but she was speaking truth. See, it was affecting who? Because I refuse to what? Forgive. I have to forgive. Let me share my final statement with you. And I'm going to ask Rochelle to come back to the platform. As we close this series out, God is talking to the church, and I've already told you, I don't look to speak places, but God's been opening doors to speak just out of the blue because He's wanting me to bring this message to the church. I keep my head down and focus on all of you. I just do. I'm not looking to go do anything. Not interested in going and doing anything. I just want to fulfill my destiny that God's called me to here. Anybody with me? But it's time that the church do better at living out a crucified life. It's time that we all do better at self-examination instead of examining everybody else's lives. We have got to start living a life of defiant joy in the face of whatever's going on. We got to live defiant prayer like Daniel, even in the face that he's going to get thrown into the lion's den. He's going to continue to pray. We've got to love well all kinds of people without compromise. And we have got to learn to forgive even better. That's what God's calling the church to. Why 2023 is he pressing this, Pastor? I don't fully know, but I am convinced that it's going to be very important this year. I believe it's way more important than our minds can wrap around what God is doing that we cannot see yet. But when the church begins to respond, what's going to start being released? Because I believe that God wants to do the amazing right here, right now. And it's up to the church to begin to see that start happening. By our decisions to walk out what God is telling us that we've got to do. What we've got to clean up and what we have got to do better at. My final statement is this. One of the most giving things you can do is forgive people. Not an easy gift, but then again, the very nature of giving involves sacrifice. Most gifts include a sacrifice of time or money. Forgiveness cannot be measured in either time or money. It consists in the laying down our life, laying down of our lives, aka the crucified life. The church must respond like Jesus and choose to extend grace, love, and forgiveness to one person or many and leave a legacy of forgiveness. This is one of those sermons and one of those subject matters that has to take place on a personal level between you and God and the Holy Spirit that is with us. And you have to make a decision. So in that step of making that decision, I'm going to ask you to just stand where you're at. I'm going to ask Rochelle to pray for us, church, to do better at forgiving, even better than how well we love people. Rochelle.
Father God, we stand before you today. And Lord, you know our hearts. You know what's in our mind. You know what's in our heart at all times. There is nothing that we can hide from you. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can hide from God or hide what's in their heart. Even though they haven't uttered a word to a person about what's in their heart, they may not have said a word to anyone, but Lord, you know. So, Lord, we ask you to examine our hearts, and we examine our hearts today, oh God. And we don't want anything in our heart to separate us from you. We don't want anything to hinder our relationship with you, oh God. Oh, Lord. And we don't want our relationships with our family members hindered, with our friends, with our co-workers. Lord, so now we open our heart before you now. And we ask you to forgive us for those things that we have allowed into our hearts that do not belong there. That we've allowed thoughts in our minds that don't belong there. That instead of casting them down and casting those thoughts out, because the battleground is the mind and Satan puts thoughts in our mind, but we are to cast them down and we say, no, we will not allow unforgiveness in our heart. We will not dwell on that thing that was so hurtful. We will not dwell on that offense, but we cast off the offense. We cast off the hurt in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us to be mindful of that. When there's a hurt, when there's an offense, when there's something that can plant unforgiveness in our hearts, help us to be mindful. That is a trap of the enemy. That's a trick of the devil. And we will not allow it and we will not take it in. But we cast it off and we release it to you, oh God. And we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us of offense. Forgive us of the times that we have carried offense in our hearts against someone. Forgive us of the unforgiveness which develops into bitterness, which is a poison. It rots the bones. Bitterness rots the bones, as Proverbs says. We do not want to allow that in our lives, oh God. So, Lord, we just release it to you today. We release all unforgiveness, all offense, all bitterness. We release anything that would separate us from you. And we don't want to be a hindrance or a stumbling block to anyone else.
Yes.
Because they will recognize that in our lives. And we as Christians, we are to be examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be a hindrance to keep people from coming to Christ. So, Lord, we ask you to help us not to be a stumbling block because we hold unforgiveness or offenses towards someone. Or in behalf, offense in behalf of someone. But, Lord, we just release it now to you and help us to truly be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help us to be the example of Jesus in this earth, that we will do good and that we will love as he loves and that we will not hinder and we will not allow Satan to hinder us through unforgiveness. So, Lord, we thank you, oh God, that you have cleansed us. You have cleansed us today of all unforgiveness and that we are forgiven. And we are free. We thank you, O Lord, that you're doing a work in your church. That you're doing a work in North Elevation Church.
Yes.
And it's not a coincidence. It's by design that Pastor Corey has been preaching what he has. Because it's your part of your purpose and your plan for North Elevation Church. Because you're getting us ready. Because we have to have all of these things cast out of our lives so that we can fulfill your will and do what you've called us to do in this community, in this area. And we will help. We will build the church in this area. You have commissioned us for this area to build your church. And we must have these things out of our lives before we can be effective, before we can be used by God. So, Lord, I thank you that you're preparing us, you're equipping us, you're cleansing us, which must take place first, and that you will use us for your glory and honor. We submit to you, O God, today. We submit to you, Lord Jesus, and to your will for our lives, and we will follow you, and we will follow your word, and we thank you, O God, that you're with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to leave this one seed of truth with you from the Holy Spirit. If you're waiting on someone else to ask forgiveness first, you have missed the boat to God's blessings. Remember that.